Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Well, hey, good morning, everybody. So good to be here with you. And for those of you that maybe we haven't met before, my name is Sean Moore, and I'm the director of Waymaker, which is our school of ministry here at Victory. Woo! Yeah. We just are in our second year of Waymaker, where we basically raise up future ministry leaders. And we just started, again, our second year, but our first year of our evening program for those of you that work full-time during the day, that kind of thing. And so, man, we're so excited about what God is going to do in developing the calling and the gifts and the graces on those people to go out. We don't know what all they're going to do for God, but we know it's going to make an eternal impact forever. And most importantly, man, that people's lives are forever changed as a result. And so excited about that. And I just want to take a moment. We're going to pray before we dive into this message this morning. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah.
I think so. Why not, right? We're in church. Let's pray. Come on. Father, we thank you so much for your presence today, Lord. Thank you that you are already present. You're moving in our midst. We're so grateful for that. And Lord, right now we open up our hearts to you because we know, Father, that you have things to say, things to impart to us that maybe we don't even hear or even notice, but Lord, things are being deposited within us. And I thank you, Father, that we choose to take hold of what you give to us, what you impart into our hearts today, and we endeavor to do that outside of these walls, Father, because we know that as we do that, we step into your grace and we see things change in our lives, we see things change in our families, we see things change in our children, in our friendships, relationships. We thank you, Father, so much that as a result of this time that we have together, that things will never be the same. And we thank you for that in advance this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, whenever I first met my wife, Sarah, she was a bumblebee and I was Yoda. Just sounds like a match made in heaven, right? This is a bad time to say that I believe in reincarnation. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. This is a joke. But whenever we met, we were at a 20-something ministry, and it was a Halloween weekend, and so, of course, I was dressed up as Yoda. She was dressed as a bumblebee. First time we met, that kind of thing, actually back in 2006. And whenever we met, I think it's interesting, though, how kind of the way that we dress, like our costumes, who we dressed up as, kind of reflects some aspects of our personality a little bit, right? You can tell I'm short and green, right? But you think about anybody, hopefully we've seen Empire Strikes Back, right? Like most of us in here, right? There's mostly saved people in the room, probably. So Empire Strikes Back, you've seen it, right? Yeah, right, definitely. Come on, baby. And so, you know, Yoda and that, like, he's kind of like kooky in that one. He's kind of weird, kind of, because he's been in isolation. That's a little bit of me, I think. A little bit of nerddom, a little bit of quirkiness, weirdness, whatever you want to call it. I reflect some of that. And for Sarah, the bumblebee, you know, the bumblebee, by all known laws of flight, the bumblebee should not be able to fly. But there he goes, man. Bumblebee buzzing away, flying around, right? Doing the impossible. And that's Sarah, right? Sarah is an impossible doer. Come on, I'm scoring points this morning. I won't mention the part that I said last night, which is that sometimes she also stings. It's a good thing I'm not saying that, right? Come on, you heard it. I didn't say it. But people will ask us, like, hey, what did you guys do for your first date? And we'll say, which one? Because we kind of had two firsts. We kind of had two starts. Because the first time I asked her out, to be honest with you, it kind of sounds bad now, but it was more of an exploratory date. Like, I didn't know how interested I was or wasn't. It was just kind of, let's see, right? Because, man, there's pressure on guys, like girls, some single ladies. You're like, I just want a guy that'll pursue me. I want to pursue. And guys are like, I don't know if I want to pursue you yet, right? All I see is the packaging. And I don't know if that's false advertising, right? I haven't seen you with your makeup off. Is that in your face? I don't know. You've seen these makeup tutorials, man? It's crazy. Like, who are you, right? So it was an exploratory date, right? So we're trying, I just wasn't in it, to be honest with you, at that particular time, right? She was in off of the mission field at that moment. And it was kind of a temporary time, so I knew she'd be going back, so that played into it a little bit. But she actually worked on the mission field with Christopher Alam, who's actually going to be here next weekend, which is going to be awesome. Make sure that you are here for that, man. If you weren't here last year, saw it, Pastor John showed a picture of just and all the people that they reach. I mean, they do these big open-air crusades. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people that they reach. All these people coming to Christ. All these crazy just miracles happening. And he's going to be here. He's going to pray. He's going to minister. It's going to be an awesome time. Again, that's next weekend. But Sarah worked with their ministry for basically over a kind of a two-year period of time. But she was back, and so I asked her out, and again, didn't really materialize at that moment. And so we fast forward a little bit of time, though. She's working in the worship department, which is where I worked as well at that time. And we just kind of, we're in proximity to each other. So, you know, over time, it's just kind of like, I remember sitting in a meeting one day. I'm just thinking, you know, it's just real simple. I just want to spend more time with her. Just that simple, right? And so I decided to act on that. And so I asked her out one time, and at that time she's like, well, you know, actually, you know, my mom, we're doing like birthday plans for her tonight, so it wouldn't work out. And she wasn't just giving me the runaround. I know that she actually did have plans, okay? So she didn't just make it up. And I thought, that's fine, you know, we can, you know, we'll do something some other time. And so I kind of asked her again, and for whatever reason, I forget the other time, I don't think it worked out. But eventually it gets to this point where we have kind of this kind of sit-down meeting. It's in my office, right? And she says, Sean, this cannot be. Like, it was even kind of like that, like, this cannot, I think, pretty sure that was her words, this cannot be. When anybody ever got a this cannot be in your life, you passed the note in elementary school, check yes or no, do you like me? You got it back, no. Your heart was crushed forever at age 9. I will never love again. I will never love again. Right? It's over. Forget about it. I'm going back to Foursquare, you know? But to be honest with you, in that moment, I didn't completely believe her. But maybe we've been in that position, in that place, right? Where, like, man, maybe there's somebody in your life even right now, like, you just kind of wish you had maybe that close friend that you've never had. You kind of wish a particular person was part of, like, your inner circle, your ride or die, and maybe you're trying to relate on a deeper level, but they're just not on the same page as you are. Or maybe you have a parent that you wish you could have a greater intimacy, greater connection with, but they're not tracking with you. They're not looking in that same space as the way that you're thinking about that relationship. Or maybe it's that girl that's a couple rows up and you didn't quite get close enough, right? Or her friend sat next to her and now you are not sitting next to her and you got to try again next week. Whatever it is, we felt that tension of, I want there to be a greater connection. I want there to be a greater level of intimacy, but there's just not reciprocity on the other side of it. And I go through scripture and I actually see that God feels that way sometimes toward you and me. That could it be that today God is actually looking for you and for me, is crying out, you know, I actually want to be closer to you than you want to be to me. And that he would draw us in and say, can you hear my heart this morning? I want us to look at this in James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says this. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I think this is amazing because one of the big takeaways of this verse is it tells me that when in the context of our closeness to God, you aren't waiting on God. God is waiting on you. That he's already cast his vote. He will draw near to you. How can it say that? Because he's already drawn near to us through the person of Jesus. In fact, really the whole book of Hebrews just about is all about this fact. In fact, the words draw near are in there multiple times. I think it's about 7 times that the words or the phrase draw near, depending upon the translation, shows up in there. Because it's all about how we can draw near because God sent his son Jesus to die upon a cross to pay the sin penalty on our behalf. That's what separated us from having relationship with God. And he shed his blood. He died on that cross. He rose again. So he offers us new life. And the road back to intimacy with God was paved with his blood. And so now we can enter into the most holy place of all, into his very throne room by faith, like we're supposed to be there because we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's not something we earned. It's something that he paid for on your behalf. And so because of that, his vote has been cast toward you. His love and his preference of the relational dynamic between you and him has already been settled. He will draw near to you, but what remains to be seen is will you draw near to him? Not just initially to make him the Lord of your life, but on a continual basis. Will we be a people that draw near to him? If you're here today, perhaps for one of the first times, then we are a church that has a conviction about drawing near to God. One of the first and primary things that we believe in is that, man, we want to help everybody know God. It's one of our big four: know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make an impact. First one, know God. It's why we come together on weekend services, that we know God, that we would draw near to him because he always draws near to us. And I love this because it shows us that God does not abide by the no tag back rule. Remember that in elementary school, whenever you guys run around on the playground, whatever, playing tag, whoever's it, like you tag somebody, they tag you right back, and it's like, gosh. Because like, okay, all we're going to do is just go tag back and forth, and this is all we're going to do all day. So thus, the genius of children, right? The no tag back rule, right? Come on. You tag them, you can't tag me right back. No, you can't tag me right back. Come on. This is it. But God doesn't follow that rule. That every time you touch him, every time you take a move toward him and you tag him, he always tags you right back. But it begs the question, how do we draw near to God? Practically, what does that look like? If God longs for this, and ultimately the level of our closeness and our relationship with him, this drawing near depends upon us choosing to say, I'm going to draw near. What does that look like? That's what we want to dive into. And let's look at this in Hebrews 11:6, because it actually gives us a blueprint and a layout for this. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Which is a huge statement. Faith pleases God. For he who comes to God, some translations put that as actually for he who would draw near to God, whoever would come close to God, must believe. So this is what coming to God in faith looks like. And he's going to point us to this. If we're going to be close to God, if we're going to come near unto him, draw near to him, he draws near to you, knowing that closeness and intimacy that God longs for, and if we're honest, man, that we so crave, simply as human beings, it says we must believe these two things. Number one, it says we must believe that he is. We must believe that he is, that God is. We must believe, first of all, point number one, that God is. We must believe, you know, that God is not imaginary, but God is real. We must believe that God is not absent. God is pleasant. He's pleasant too, but he's present. We must believe that God is not passive, but God is actually active. He is in the present tense with you right now. That's so important that we believe that God is. He's not just in the past. He's done a lot of good things. When I go back through, okay, great, I see stuff in the Old Testament, I see something in the New Testament. He's done a lot of cool things, but what about right now? We must believe that God is now. And what I also think is so significant about believing that God is that understanding that whenever we are not, he is. Whenever you are not strong, he is your strength. Whenever you're not at peace, he is your peace. Whenever you are not full of joy, he is your joy. Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy and life. And to set our minds upon him is life and peace forever. Whenever you are not, God is. We must believe to come close to him, to be near to him, that God is. But secondly, there's another belief. There's another conviction that we must come with. We must come with this persuasion in our hearts. Number two, something about God's nature. And it says that you must believe that God is a rewarder. God is by nature a rewarder. He is a giver. James talks about in the book of James, it says that he is an open-handed, liberal giver, and he gives to all who come approaching him in faith. He is an open-handed giver. And maybe you've heard this before and you're familiar with this, but can I tell you, so many people don't live like that's true. It doesn't matter what you think you believe that's true. Your actions betray you. Do you actually come to God expecting good when you approach him? Or do you expect him to bring out everything you've done wrong that week? Do you come to him actually believing that he's got good with your name on it and he's waiting for you to come close? Because when you approach him, what you get is reward. What you can expect is good. And also in the book of James, it says that God is the source of every good and every perfect thing. It comes from Him. And there's no shadow of turning. There's no change in His nature. There's no change in His character. There's no bad days with God where it's like, you really shouldn't come to Him today. Like angels show up and like, hey, I know you want to come to the throne of grace and mercy, but today it's a throne of cranky. Don't go. Don't do it. Right? It's not like approaching maybe your boss sometimes. Like, is today a good day? What's the weather like? Tell me, you know? He has no bad days. He's a rewarder. There's no shadow of change in Him. But notice that the reward, look at this, He is a rewarder not just of anybody, not because He doesn't desire to, but why? But He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We believe that God is. We believe He's real. We believe He's present. We believe He's active. When we're not, He is. He is a rewarder, and He rewards a specific kind of person, a person that actually wants Him, a person that seeks Him diligently, that seeks Him earnestly out of their heart. That's the one that gets the reward. And you may say, Sean, why is that? Why is it that that's the only person that gets in? There's a few reasons, and I'll just give you one. First of all, and I will submit this to you, is that it's only in the presence of a heart that seeks that relationship can happen. You can't have relationship. There can't be even an open heart attached to that without there being an earnest seeking. See, to go back to whenever I first asked Sarah out, it was exploratory. There wasn't necessarily a whole lot of earnest seeking going on in that moment, to be honest. It's more like, we'll check it out, we'll see. Testing the waters. But later you fast forward, and later I had more of a desire to seek. A desire, I want to know you. I want to spend more time with you, right? And she put me to the test because she said no again. Right? This cannot be. And so eventually you fast forward through it, and I kind of kept asking, because I've had a couple conversations with her. I was basically like, do you really mean that, right? Because I kind of felt like, I don't know, you know, like, do you really mean that? Okay, this is definitely no forever, just now, you know what I mean? Kind of felt like, I don't know if I believe you, right? Maybe it was narcissism, I don't know, but I was like, I don't really believe you right now. Maybe not, maybe just I'll just be led, you know? So, but there was one morning, it was like a Saturday morning breakfast thing with the worship team, and it ended up getting canceled, and so I just kind of messaged Sarah. I was like, hey, because she was working in the worship department at the time, I'm like, hey, do you want to still go anyway, right? Smooth, right? Come on. And she actually said yes. I mean, it was kind of like a Hail Mary pass, like, hey, let's see who catches it, right? Let's just see if it happens. And she said yes, and basically we just kind of kept, and we spent kind of like that whole, we spent a long time there actually, right? Just talking and that kind of stuff, and it becoming, we kind of started at Panera, then we went to Chick-fil-A. It was kind of like this whole thing, right? Because all good things happen in Chick-fil-A, right? Come on. Amen. Yeah. You can feel the anointing. It's Sunday, though. Sorry, guys. Sorry. But like, oh, that's right. So, but there was a seeking that was attached to it. And listen, there was a reward on the other side of that. And it's the same thing with God. And that reward is relationship. Can I tell you that the first and the primary reward of a diligent seeking of God, that reward, as He is a rewarder, that reward is His presence. That reward is relationship with Him. It's the ultimate thing. And everything else, can I tell you, everything else that you may be looking to be rewarded I'm saying it a different way. Any other reward that you may be looking from God is wrapped up in that relationship. In that relationship with Him. It all flows through that. And our part is to seek diligently. See, let's give this the option. I know we're kind of going very relational, like romantic relationship in some of our analogies today, but that's all right. So here's a picture. Look, we're going to help you out. Single people in the room, we're going to help you out right now today. All right? Now listen, think about this, especially single guys. Okay, we're going to help. You guys need help anyway, right? You need help. Here's some help. So if you had to pick, if we take a poll, if you had to pick a first date to go on, like what would that first date be? And I were to tell you, you have two options, right? So many polls today. You got like regular M&Ms, peanut M&Ms. Well, today we're talking about having a choice between a movie date, you're just going to see a movie, and a dinner date. Wining and dining, right, so to speak. If you were to choose between the movie date and the dinner date, now, I would guess, ladies, overwhelmingly, you're going to choose the dinner date. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah.
No? Yeah, dinner date. Pretty much all the way, right? Unless you've been married for a long time, you have kids, and the movie date is an opportunity for a nap. Right? And I would imagine, I'm sure there'd be a lot of guys, you know, who would choose, you're sensitive, you're like long walks on the beach and all that stuff. You would do the dinner thing too. But I would imagine if we were looking at the movie, we're probably going to skew toward the male side of the equation, right, with the movie date. Now, why is it, ladies, why is it that you would choose to go, like, you know, if we were going on a date, I really want to go on the dinner date. Why? So you can talk. So we can talk. Yes. Finally. And you go on this side, and it's like, guys, why do you want to go on the movie date? So we don't have to talk. That's right. I just want to look at a screen. Come on, right? That's the dynamic. Can I tell you, it can be a similar thing in our relationship with God. Man, we don't talk to him all week, and then we show up to church and we approach it as, listen, God, I don't want to actually communicate with you. I just want to be entertained with you. I want to be in your proximity, but I just want to be in a passive stance. Don't require anything of me. I don't want to share anything. I don't want to open my heart, just like over there, right? That can be our approach to him. Can I tell you part of why sometimes maybe you just struggle with coming to church and you feel like, man, I don't know if I get anything out of it. It seems like other people get more stuff out of it, and I don't know, I just feel uncomfortable or whatever. Sometimes maybe you feel that way. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time, you still kind of feel like it's gotten dry or whatever. Can I tell you part of why that can be is that, think about it just naturally. What if you just ate one time a week? One meal a week? One meal a month, two times a month, right? Even just naturally, if you ate just once a week even, and you came, and man, you just went in like all-you-can-eat buffet, right? You're not going to be able to keep that down. You won't be able to digest that. It's coming back, baby. It won't be so good the second time, right? Not good. Why? Because there's no capacity to receive it. Think about it. There's no capacity. See, you know, eating on a consistent basis. Think about whenever you're an infant, or whenever you eat, diet, very restricted, milk, that's it, right? Milk, formula, whatever you're taking, right? That's it. Very limited diet, small amounts. Your stomach is like this big, right? Your capacity is small. What is it? You keep eating, there's expansion, there's growth, and now your diet expands, you're able to digest more, that kind of stuff. It's the same thing with our spiritual growth. If we're not eating on a continual basis, our capacity is small, and it can actually shrivel up. And whenever we start to shrivel up spiritually, unlike our flesh, whenever our flesh starts to get hungry, you get hangry, right? Come on, you guys know about hangry. Yeah, right? Your flesh gets louder. Whenever our spirit is starved, it gets quieter. And our capacity begins to diminish to receive it. Why? Because our approach to God, we have a choice. Am I going to take the movie date approach to my relationship with God, or am I going to choose to be in the dinner date approach where, God, I want to commune with you on an ongoing basis? Look at this, because that's what God is looking for. Jeremiah 29:13. God speaking, he says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Can't tell you, stereotypical anyway, guys, like why you might hear, like, I just wish, why can't we just talk? Or your wife says, I wish we could have just more intimacy in our marriage. And like usually the guy thing is like, well, we have sex. Like, okay, well, that's not what she's saying, okay? Oh, I just dropped that on you right now, but what is that talking about? And what is it that God is talking about in terms of you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart? The heart aspect of it is this. See, there's kind of, in a sense, like three selves. I mean, you're one, but there's kind of three dimensions, if you will, of each of us, or three relational levels that we relate on. One is the public you, right, that everybody sees, right? When you're walking around and going to Walmart, running errands, whatever you're doing, that's the public you. Everybody sees that. You go one layer in further. You have the private you. And that's the you that your family sees, close friends, like your spouse, like kind of behind closed doors in those types of settings. So you have the public you, everybody sees, private you, only a few people see, closest to you. But then there's another level down within that's the personal you. And that's the you that only you see, and only you know, and only you experience. And can I tell you, that's the you that when your spouse says, man, I want to have greater communication or greater intimacy in our relationship, or a close friend, I want to be more connected to you. Is that, listen, you're keeping me in either the public you or the private you, and I'm not hearing and I'm not seeing the personal you. Because see, intimacy only happens when I let you into the places that is exclusive, that no one else gets to see, that no one else gets to hear. That's where intimacy happens, into me, see. And whenever I open up that personal, I open up my heart to you, and you open up your heart to me, that result is intimacy. And there's that exchange, there's that connection that we all long for, not just in romantic relationships, but in friendships as well. And you long for it with God, and God longs for that with you. And what's amazing is in that exchange of heart to heart, it's not just you sharing your heart with him, you drawing near to him, he draws near to you. What you get downloads from his heart into yours. I can tell you that's the place that God wants to relate with and speak to. That's the place he occupies. See, that's why this isn't just about, Jesus didn't come to establish some new religion. That's why that Christianity isn't just about like a different list of moral duties. Because it's about a heart-to-heart connection and revelation and understanding of personally knowing him. Jesus said that this is eternal life, that they would know you. It's about knowing God. It's about walking in a drawing near type of relationship. It's about not just a movie date where, God, I just want to be entertained with you, be in proximity to you, but not relating and connecting with you. No, it's about the dinner date. It's about an exchange that happens personally, not just on Sunday or Saturday, but every day that I live in this living, drawing near to you. God, I choose to diligently seek you. Why? Because whenever I diligently seek, it opens my heart. It's not that God's trying to make it difficult, but quite frankly, there's so many competing distractions and pulls upon us. Just the way that we even just feel just naturally, we don't always feel like coming to God, and we have to shake off that crusty apathy, and we have to shake off the distractions of just always pulling out our cell phone, or distractions of all the busyness of life, and say, I'm going to make a space now to draw near, to seek you diligently right now out of my heart, because a diligent seeker opens their heart, and it's only in an open heart that you can have exchange between God and you. And that's what he longs for with you. Will you let him into that space? And here's an amazing thing that happens, and we'll wrap it up with this. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. I'll leave you with this. In that space of intimacy, of heart to heart, he says, call to me, and I will answer you. And this is amazing. I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Some translations of this put it as, I will tell you great and secret things that you haven't known. Can I tell you there's secrets that you can have between you and God? There's close things that are only whispered, that can only be communicated when you're close enough. You have to be close enough to hear the whisper. Can I tell you, there's oceans of things that God wants to whisper to you about who you are, about your family, decisions you need to make, about your purpose, the purpose and plan that he has, the destiny that he has for your life. You're not going to find that out any other way than to draw near, and him then drawing near to you and calling upon him and seeking diligently, opening your heart to him. Because when I open my heart to him, God, it opens up the door. God, I can now receive his heart to me, and he will tell us secret things, the most intimate things, the things that you long to hear, to know. God, why is this so unclear to me? Why do I feel like I'm stumbling around in the dark? Why is it that I feel like I don't know what the right decision to make right now is? I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know. Can I tell you, you're not going to find out in the presence of just asking everybody their opinion. You're going to find out in the presence of God. It's great to get wise counsel. That's important. But can I tell you, there's some things you're only going to get when you take the time, set it aside, I eliminate distractions, say, God, I am drawing near to you right now. I'm going to choose to seek you diligently. I'm going to get into the Bible, your word in scripture. I'm going to let you speak to me through this. I'm going to come and pray to you and pour out my heart and say, God, this is where I'm at right now. And I'm here to listen to you. I humble myself in your presence to hear what you would have to say to me. And I open up my mouth and I declare out of my heart, Lord, that you are good. And I praise and I worship you in that exchange. In that exchange comes the impartation of those things that you long to hear, you long to see, that you long to know. It's only in that place. It's only in that space. Would you take a moment and bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father, right now we just open up our hearts to you. We thank you, Father God, so much that we can come close to you, that your word does say we can draw near. And that it's not one-sided. Unlike human relationships where sometimes we want to move the ball forward on our closeness, but sometimes it's not reciprocated. You always reciprocate. There's never been a person that drew near to you that you didn't come close to as well, Father. And I thank you so much for that. And right now, Lord, we draw near to you from our hearts. And Lord, we bless you for that. We bless you. And at this moment, if you would, just please, let's stand up on our feet. And I just want to lead us in a song. I just want to teach it to you. I don't think we've ever sung it before as far as attached to worship, but it's very simple. And we're just going to use this as an opportunity to respond to God, of just drawing near to him, of just opening up our hearts to him. And, you know, praise and worship in this time that we have, it's not just about, you know, being a good singer. It's about heart to heart. We were just talking about it. Just about a diligent seeking from my heart. God, I open up my heart to you. And so we're just going to sing this. And, I'll just teach it to you. So here's the chorus.
And I draw near, I draw near to you, and you draw near, you draw near to me. Here's the bridge. Oh, Jesus, you alone are my hiding place, my all in all, my everything, Jesus, you alone are my hiding place, my all in all, my everything.
All right, let's jump into this together.
Oh, here I quiet my soul. You are all that I see. Still within me the worries of life. Here my heart is at peace
when I draw near.
And I draw near, I draw near to you, yes I do. And you draw near, you draw near to me.
Here I lay my life.
Here I lay my life down. Cast my cares at your feet. Jesus, here in this moment with you, I find all that I need. Yes, I do. Yes, I find all that I need. And I draw near, I draw near to you. And you draw near, you draw near to me. Come close to you, Lord, as I draw near, I draw near to you. I do, Lord, and you draw.
For that right now. Right now, Father, I just pray over those that feel like they can't come to you. I thank you, Lord, that you just speak to their hearts. You reaffirm your goodness. You reaffirm, Lord, that you are for them. You have good. You have good for them. You have mercy and grace extended, arms wide open, saying, come. Come and have what you need. Come and take what you need, whatever that is. Come and partake. Come and taste and see that I'm good. I'm good to you. It's all I've ever been to you, no matter how you've been to me.
Right now in this moment, I just want to give an opportunity. If you don't know that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know that you've responded initially to the fact that God through Jesus drew near to you and gave his life as that sacrifice and rose from the dead and extends to you this offer of invitation of here. Because look, sin has to be paid for. And sin isn't just behavior, it's a condition, it's a nature that has to be dealt with. It's not something that you kind of earn your way. Well, maybe I'll be good enough to earn my way to God. No, you can't, because Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He didn't come to change behavior. He came to make dead people alive. He came to change our nature. And you don't behave your way into that. It's a work only the Spirit of God can do in your heart and your life. No matter how much church attendance you've done that didn't make it happen for you, no matter how whatever sacraments or things, religious things that you have tried to do, I can tell you, if you didn't receive Jesus, it's all in vain. Because if those things could earn you heaven, if those things could earn you salvation, then God would have never sent Jesus. He would have sent you more religious observances. But he didn't. He sent his son for you. And because of that, because it can't be earned, you also can't disqualify yourself from it. You can't go so far away as to say, well, you're just too bad. No one has gone too far. He still extends this to you right now, no matter your condition. He's with you. He's for you. And so you don't know that you've responded and made Jesus the Lord of your life. To be saved, it's real simple. We believe in our heart that Jesus, you are the Son of God, and we confess him. Lord, you are my Lord. I surrender. I repent of my old ways. I turn toward you, and I start a new life. You make me brand new in you. If you don't know that you've done that, we're going to pray a prayer, everyone out loud together with you. But first, with everyone's head bowed, eyes closed, I want to give you the chance to acknowledge that before God. I need to make you my Lord, my Master. If you don't know that you've done that, on the count of three, would you lift up your hand to acknowledge that before God for a moment? I'll acknowledge it too, just to see you and celebrate with that with you. But raise your hand up for a second on the count of three and put it back down. I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. 1, 2, 3. Would you lift it up for a second? Put it back down. Awesome. Hey, God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over the place. You can put it back down. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else, you don't know that you've done that? I just want to celebrate that with you real quick. Give you a chance to acknowledge that before God. I want to make you my Lord, my Master. Jesus, I come to you. Anybody else? Lift up for a second. If you haven't already, put it back down. We're so excited. Awesome. I see you, brother. You put it back down. Awesome. Listen, guys, we're going to pray this prayer. Everyone repeat this out loud together. Listen, this isn't ritualistic. This isn't just parroting words back. It's not the prayer, this prayer intrinsically that saves us. It's that we pray it in faith. It's that we say it from our hearts, believing upon him. And so let's just repeat this out of our hearts, everyone together in support of those making this decision today. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the Son of God. And he died on the cross for my sins. And he rose again so I could have new life. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord, my Savior. I turn from my old ways. And I turn to you, and I am a child of God. My sin is washed away. Heaven is my home. I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate that today with those that made that decision. We're so excited for you. We're so excited for you. You can go ahead and be seated at this time. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. But I just encourage you, if you made that decision this morning, I encourage you to tell somebody about it. You're not meant to walk out those next steps alone. We want to come alongside you, encourage you. One simple one is just keep coming. Is to keep coming back next week, and Christopher Lam is going to be there for that. But also tell somebody, if someone brought you, tell somebody about that. Tell a prayer partner. You can also text. You can text the word redeemed to 97,000. The word redeemed to 97,000. You'll get a text back, a video. We can help give you some next steps through those means. But tell somebody, we want to help you walk out that decision. That's not the end. It's the start to a whole new life, whole new life. We're so excited for you. We believe in you. And I'm going to hand it over right now. And but God bless you guys. Let's give it up as Alyssa comes right now. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.